We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Ron Coomer, Chicago Cubs radio analyst.
Unbelievable.
1999 American League All-Star.
You might expect Wells to mix his pattern up. I mean, Coomer has owned David Wells.
This might work out.
The Coom Dog, every week with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It is always a delight to welcome in our friend, America's friend. He's Ron Coomer. He joins us on the Al Pamani Ford Hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Ron. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Mike, hey, David, how are you boys doing?
Doing all right.
We are. Okay. We're getting through it, too. Ron, I got to tell you, this idea... I mean, we have a lot of good ideas around here, but this is some high-concept stuff. This interactive Cubs World Series run starts tonight on The Score. You and Pat and Joe Ostrowski are going to be discussing the game. We'll play a few innings. You go over it, play a few innings. You talk about it. You get to the end of the game, and you talk about it. You take some calls. I can't tell you how much fun this is going to be. Fantastic idea.
I couldn't agree more. I just wish it was my idea. I'm not quite that smart. It sounds like a Mitch Rosen or somebody, their pay scale is a little above mine. No, it's a great idea. We had a call yesterday about it. And Pat and I were on the call and we're talking. And, yesterday I spent some time during the day just kind of going over the series, from game one, and I watched some of game one yesterday of the playoffs, and I've watched some of the other games that we've all watched quite a bit of the World Series if you've, had some time to thumb through the internet, and I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to our fans and get their perspective on where they were and kind of, what those games meant to them and, just getting some of their ideas of what the games meant. And for Pat and I, just to, go back through some of the memories of 2016 and what it was like in the booth during some of those times and just what the feel was for the team. So it's a great idea. I'm really looking forward to it. And the research for me of just watching some games and making some notes has been as much fun as I've had in quite some time now, I'll tell you that.
It's a good use of the time, Ron, and I think it's interesting because on Sunday I listened to Bears Classics, the 2007 NFC Championship game with the Bears and the Saints, and I was texting Tom Thayer a couple of times because he was right on a couple plays that he called, and the analysis was terrific, and he said in his responses that things that he remembered while listening to that, and little things you wouldn't think of, but nuances about the broadcast or nuances about the experience or that day, all the memories came flooding back. Do you expect a similar thing to happen to you tonight? And what goes through your mind when you hear yourself analyzing a game that you remember?
Well, I absolutely expect that to happen. I think Pat and I both do. Things that you expect, the one thing that in looking back, and I haven't listened to the game, I've gone through notes purposely. I didn't listen to it because I really wanted to I want to feel it again, right? I want to feel like I was back in the booth, but I've been watching some of the games and I've been going through box scores and I've been going through
the game itself and just watching. But just listening to Pat and I is going to be totally different because the perspective that you have when you're sitting there, I want to come back again. And I just remember those playoff games being so intense. You know, 15 was great, in the you know, but the expectation wasn't high to win a World Series. 16, expectations were extremely high. And the Cubs were the best team in baseball. And, you know, it's going to be fun to listen and know how close they came to, you know, some of the, you know, not getting past the Giants possibly and some of those things. So it's going to be fun. It really is.
You know, it's funny you say that, Ron, because that's what I remember most about it. Not that it was, not that I thought it was just going to be easy, but I did believe they were going to win the World Series. I thought they were that good a team. But I remember feeling like, oh, my God, this is so difficult. Like, it just, you know, it wasn't easy. I mean, that opening series was really difficult. And you look at the scores and everything, and that was a close series. And certainly we know not only Game 7, but you get the extra innings in the World Series. It's extraordinary how difficult it is to pull that feat off. It's just one of the toughest things to do in all of sports, the way you have to go about it.
Yeah, the length of all the playoffs in Major League Baseball is just, it's grueling with all the games you have to play if you're going to win a World Series. And the Cubs took some of those series, you know, deep into the series. Just series number one. We're gonna watch game one of the series, or listen to game one of the series tonight. And that game was decided by a couple great plays defensively and one swing of the bat late in the ball game. And it's just, you know, and two pitchers had just phenomenal days. And dominated the ball game. So yeah, it really is. It's the other thing that I'm really looking forward to is thinking about some of the guys that played. You know, the Monteros through this series who hit right. some huge hits, and Ben Zobrist who huge hits. You know, to win games and some great pitching performances. Johnny Lester was huge through that series, and Jake Arrieta. And then just listening to Pat, too, the one thing that I think we take for granted is games in the broadcast. I do, and I'm sitting there, you know, but to listen to Pat call all the playoffs is going to be really fun.
Let's face it, Ron, as we get more anxious by the moment and by the day, what everybody really needs is to listen to Pat Hughes recite anything, say anything, just hear his voice. Yeah, it's like a cup of tea, you know?
Yeah, that is. So, I was just listening to Vin Scully too, just right before we went on. Vin put out a little piece yesterday on the internet, and you know, it's things like that. So you're right. I just listening to Pat call this game is going to be great, David.
You're an optimistic guy, Ron, and there's a lot of projections out there about what is next for Major League Baseball. CBSSports.com this morning has a story about how maybe July 4th sounds like a reasonable opening day because they cite some things like the Toronto ban on public events through June 30th, which doesn't include sporting events, but still it's there. And you know, the state of Virginia has a stay-at-home order through June 10th, 80% of the U.S. population under a stay-at-home order. When you look at all of these possibilities and when you consider and ponder what is next, where does your mind go, and what do you think sounds the most realistic of the things that you've heard?
You know, I haven't given the thought of when we would get back, because so many of these dates, David, bounce all over the place. And I just, you know, to me, I growing, you know, kind of living in the last, you know, years in Minnesota and knowing some of the companies that are there that they've talked about, Mayo Clinic and Abbott Labs and some of those where they were right by my house. And some of the smart people that have been, along with Northwestern, trying to come up with these with drugs to try to help people that have this and maybe a cure, who knows. To me, are we going to come up with something that's going to cure this, that's going to fix this, that's going to help the symptoms and quicken the curve? We don't know that. Is it going to continue on, and
Are we going to go deep into the baseball season? We don't know that either. So I don't know when we're going to come back. I just know when we do, I'm going to be ready and really ready for baseball to be back. But I'm hoping, like the press conference last night, you know, that when they were talking about, you know, this curve and hopefully that they can push this death toll down and they can come up with something that's gonna really help people that are in, you know, dire need to just get healthy.
How are you spending your time, Ron? You know, we just talked to a guy, a former Bears assistant special teams coach who is in Rome, and he's doing a lot of different things with his time. He says he doesn't have a TV and he hasn't been following anything, and immediately we get a text from our guy Peoria Matt who says, how the hell is he going to keep up with Tiger King? It seems like everybody's watching that show. I don't know why. I haven't seen it yet myself, but it's on the list. What are you doing with your time? How are you preparing yourself to get through this?
Well, it's a daily thing. I'm here in Florida. I'm not in Chicago. I came down here from Arizona from spring training thinking I would be able to get back to Chicago fairly quick, but that didn't work out that way. So I'm in Clearwater Beach, and you know, I'm watching Homeland is the show of the,
nice.
The season for me. So I'm
good one.
Going into season four of Homeland. So I'm binge watching Homeland, and two nights ago I was the cook here in the house, so I did the cooking at night, which, you know, is a little suspect, but that's okay. you know, if there's not a grill there, Mikey, it's trouble for me, you know. I have issues other than scrambled eggs and bacon.
Ron, I might recommend a BBC detective series, Line of Duty, if you like Homeland. I think,
Yeah, good.
Line of Duty, very good, mm-hmm. very good season one, and real suspenseful. So anyway, yeah, everyone's going to have their own little Netflix alternative. When there's got to be some fitness involved for players who were kind of facing the unknown and the uncertainty ahead, Ron. I know you never went through this as a player, but when you see the guys scattered around there, how challenging will it be for pitchers, for position players to stay in shape given the limitations of their access to fitness facilities? And they're going to have to do a lot of things maybe in the comforts of their own homes.
Well, a lot of guys have, David, one thing, you know, a lot of guys have some kind of fitness equipment in their house. And the guys that are living in downtown, like your last guest, the coach, you know, in my building, I have a 9-story building that I'm in Florida, and you can go up and down the stairs. But the baseball skills of training are going to be tough to keep ongoing, right? You're not going to be able to play long toss. I don't see where you can do that and throw the ball across an outfield. Social distancing. Can your wife throw the ball that far, or your son to throw the ball that far back to you? There's things like that. The hitting part will be easy because most guys that play in Major League Baseball that are hitters have some kind of hitting something in their house, whether it be just a small net that you can hit off the tee. But I do think it's going to be difficult for pitchers to continue to keep their arm in shape and throw and find a place where they can throw bullpens. I don't see how they're going to be able to do that. So when we do come back, and we will come back, but when we do, we've got to take that into account because those guys have to get their arms back into shape so you just don't have any injury. That to me is the main thing.
Generally speaking, how long does that take? Is that a month-long process? Is that 5 weeks? How long?
Depends on how long we're out. Everybody was great, just, you know, not too long ago we were playing baseball. So if this goes, you know, into June, you're going to need a new spring training, or you're going to need at least 3 weeks. You know, you're going to, everybody's, the process is going to be expedited big time compared to what we're used to with spring training. So I would say 2 weeks, if we get back fairly soon, 2 weeks, if it goes into June or something like that, midsummer, before we get back on a field, then probably 3 weeks.
So, Ron, you're a big Bears fan. Who do you want them to draft?
That's a good question. I'm really happy they got some competition now at certain positions. I think that's a good thing. It brings out the best. So the competition,
with the guy behind center, I think is good. I like the tight end position. To me, everybody talks the defense. To me, if the Bears can do their job on offense, if they can get a tight end and get some young guy that is a control receiver, moving the chains type thing, I think that would really help both of those quarterbacks. That's for sure.
They got 9 of them under contract.
Yeah, like you said, they've got 9 of them under contract.
What's the old adage,
six
Ron?
Third baseman, it's not good.
That's right. When you have 9, you don't have 1. I got it.
That's right. How are you boys doing? Everybody doing okay?
Oh, we're doing well. Yeah, we're getting through it. We're all keeping in touch. I do miss kind of seeing everybody, to be honest with you. I miss kind of giving everyone a hard time, but it is what it is, right? David, you're doing all right.
I miss the traffic, Ron. I miss the traffic every day,
No, we don't miss that. Ron, Southside appreciation. When you like a guy, you have a friend, do you ever say, like, hey, you're a good dude, or do you just make fun of him? It's the Southside.
Oh, absolutely. right. Yeah.
It gets in the way of romance, I'll tell you, if you meet a nice Southside girl.
Ron, enjoy tonight. Should be a lot of fun tonight, you and Pat and Joe Ostrowski. That should be a lot of fun.
Thanks, Ron. Great catching up with you.
Guys, it's great to listen to you. I'm plugging in every morning to listen, so keep doing it. I know the whole city is happy to be listening to you guys, that's for sure.
That's our guy, Ron Coomer. Make sure you're listening tonight and every night. It's going to be a glorious run here. I got a feeling it's going to turn out all right, but you will remember how tense it was. I mean, it was not particularly easy. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it and throw to Rizzo. It's in time, and the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
Spoiler alert.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. So the Score is going to replay all of the games leading to the World Series. It starts tonight with the Division Series against the Giants. And then and we'll take you all the way through Game 7 that you just heard the end of there. And it is, I don't think it's a spoiler. I don't think a spoiler alert is needed. I think we all know what happened. But, when I went back and took a look at it and started thinking about it, David, I think that as a Sox fan, watching that World Series and the way the White Sox just cut a swath through that playoffs and won the World Series, I still remember sitting on the couch and like being frozen after the Red Sox series. And my wife is like, why aren't you happy? And I said to her, like, I can't remember the Sox ever winning a playoff series. And then they flashed something about the last time they had won it was before I was born. And I just, it was stunning to me how that worked out for them. And there were moments of great kind of worry. There were moments where you weren't sure what was happening and whether it was going to happen. It could fall apart. And it was going so well. The Cubs thing was so different. I mean, it was just such a taffy pull of a postseason, and it was so much more difficult than I even thought it would be going into it. I just thought it would be a lot easier.
Well, it took 17 games. I mean, that tells you how hard it was, you know, and that's why we're going to have 17 games and 17 nights, because the White Sox did make it easier work in 2005, and you didn't expect maybe the struggle that the playoffs became for the Cubs in game one of the NLDS. Everybody will remember that one. Javi wins it with a home run. They beat the Giants. Johnny Cueto was terrific. And then began a really magical month that ended in November with a championship. But, Molly, I found myself the other night watching, like a lot of people, game seven. And there's been a couple different opportunities for people to watch game seven between the Indians and the Cubs. And I came away with a lot different feeling than I thought I would, because obviously in the midst of that, and I don't think I've watched it since covering it, actually. And I think that was maybe the first time that I'd sat down and watched the last three innings or so. And I couldn't help but think, and I'm saying this is right or wrong, but this was my thought coming out of that, was like, Joe Maddon was roundly criticized after winning the World Series, and is the only guy that kind of became less popular in his own city for doing something nobody else had done in so long. Yep. And I think he got a raw deal.
I don't think it was game seven necessarily. I think it was the entire playoff run, David.
Well, I know, but the playoff run, and I understand all the specifics of the dynamics, but you know, people look at the use of Chapman and the overuse of Chapman, and there's going to I don't want to open that door again, but the move that he made to pinch run with Albert Almora for Schwarber that led to Almora tagging up, he doesn't get nearly as much credit for that as he gets blamed for everything else. And there were other moves. Now, you pulled Hendricks too soon in this game seven, sure. But I just felt like Joe Maddon won a World Series. It's still remarkable to me. Won a World Series in Chicago and was deemed as a problem heading into the following spring training.
All right, I got to stop you there, because I thought Joe didn't really cover himself in glory. And honestly, when you talk about putting in a pinch runner for Schwarber, that guy was operating on one leg. He was basically your DH. I mean, didn't you have to put a pinch runner? What, name a manager who wouldn't have done that move.
Well, the fact that Schwarber was batting where he was, that, I mean, there were good moves that get often overlooked in the rush to criticize a guy who won a championship. And Chapman, he was tired. You could tell it. They went to him when he had a 3-run lead, and it took all you could to survive that. And Mike Montgomery came in. I didn't realize, and I had forgotten how much Carl Edwards had meant to his role in the victory. And he was one of those guys you look at and you think, wow, remember how hopeful his future was with the Cubs during that season, during that playoff run. Addison Russell fielding grounders.
Oh, yeah.
Carl Edwards Jr., you know, getting outs, big outs down the stretch. And those two guys all but forgotten in Chicago.
Well, you know, Jake Arrieta is a guy that, I mean, I don't know that we'd even be talking about it if he wasn't with the Cubs. That has to be one of the greatest moves any team has ever made, because you brought in a guy who turned into a Cy Young winner and went through. It was like on the South Side, it was Jose Contreras, where you just got a guy where you tapped into everything. It all came together, and he put together whatever it was, a year and a half, almost two seasons of being just unbeatable. And that that was exactly what happened with Arrieta. I mean, he was so bloody good. And John Lester, you know, he's always been, you know, the kind of guy that is at his best in those moments. So I'm not saying that you don't win without Lester, but Arrieta was the guy that just kind of came from nowhere and just was unbelievable in that year.
We have a suggestion, Mully, to our Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin text line. We would like to change the name of this show to Mully and the Meatball as a result of my Joe Madden compliment there. So I don't know if that has quite a ring to it, but Mully and the Meatball it is.
Oh, boy.
Sounds like a wacky morning zoo. I think it fits.
It does, doesn't it? Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a compliment, David. And I'm
not taking it as a compliment. And I don't really care. Oh. I mean, my first reaction, though, was just that overall.
The joke out of that bad deal?
Yeah, he did. You know, he was the only guy I think that I can think of in professional sports winning a championship and losing in popularity.
Well, it was extraordinary because, you know, I have some friends who are just the most diehard Cub fans. And I you know, my buddy's wife, it's the only sport she actually follows is not just baseball, it's just the Cubs. And she was bad-mouthing Joe Madden like you wouldn't believe. And I remember having this conversation with her where I was like, you know, that's the first World Series in like 108 years. You know, you realize what was accomplished there, right? And you realize that Joe was an essential part of it. And the reaction was kind of like, yeah, but. And I got to tell you are so spot on. I don't think I have ever seen anyone that ruined their reputation by winning a World Series. But that is what happened. And that's
with, equivocal. Not only with the fan base, but with your own boss.
He was basically out the minute he won the World Series. It just took a few years. Is that what it is?
Absolutely. Without question. I think probably if you ask Theo Epstein, to be totally honest, when did you ever start to doubt, or when did you start to doubt Joe Madden? I think probably the most critical point would have been, well, you know, right after the champagne dried. Because before that point, there were some things that maybe made you scratch your head, and all managers make those moves. But Theo, at that point, you wonder, did he start to doubt Joe and question those moves? Because after that, things did kind of change.
That's hysterical. And again, we have a texter checking in and defending Joe, saying that they had to take Hendricks out because Lester was warming up in the bullpen too long. So, again, I think that you can come up with all sorts of answers to it, but that doesn't change the fact that Joe really was never looked at the same way again. He was a guy who came in here, he changed the culture, he had as big an impact. You know, we know managers only matter a game or two if you trust the numbers, but I don't think I've ever seen anybody have as big an impact as Joe did when he came in, and the change in the culture and all the young players and the feeling it was inevitable that they were going to win. And they were having fun doing it. And then from that point on, it was like, oh, you know, look at this goofy hippie. I mean, it was amazing. It was amazing what happened.
You know, and then you look at the key guys who, you know, stood out in that Game 7, or the faces on the screen are all familiar, and they're all still here. Right. And you saw Jason Hayward, and you saw Rizzo and Bryant and Schwarber. Even Almora played a large role there. And guys from John Lester and Hendricks, guys who are still here. And then, again, that was, I guess, the second maybe most prevalent thought that was going through my head, was that this is why the Cubs, you know, clung to the status quo this offseason, when everybody expected them to have this offseason of reckoning because they told us it was going to happen. They kind of believe that these guys are capable of doing what they did, you know, in 2016 and 2017 to a lesser degree. But they still believe in those guys, and I don't know if that's going to pay off.
I don't know
if that's a smart way to go.
I don't want to disagree with you, but remember, they were shopping Chris Bryant like mad, right? And everybody said that they were hell-bent making a trade. They just couldn't get the deal done, right? They couldn't get the value they felt for the player. So as much as as much as we want to congratulate them for not making moves and all the rest of it, I think we have to keep it in the context of the difficulty they had getting the move done.
Yeah, I don't know that I want to congratulate them for anything, because I felt like they could have made some moves to make themselves better. But I guess the point would be, they think that, I guess maybe they're forced to look at it this way, that the team that they put on the field whenever baseball resumes, and if it's a condensed season or whatever, and hopefully it will resume, that this is a team that they have seen win before, that they have seen, you know, play well together and have things go right for them, and that's what they're banking on, and they'll feel like that gives them an advantage. I don't know if it does or not. I think there's still holes that exist. We don't know about the bullpen, and certainly Aroldis Chapman is not there to kind of erase every mistake the way that he did so often in the 2016 playoffs. So they have Craig Kimbrell instead, and that's not the same. That's just not the same.
You know, David Ross is back. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but that's something to look forward to. That's going to happen at some point. He will manage a game, honest to God. No one believes
me. Did you see him? Right. It was fun to watch him, though, at the top, on the top step, kind of looking at the game after that home run that he hit and thinking, like, yeah, wow, the next time you're going to see him in a Cub uniform, he's going to be managing the team.
It is really strange when you really stop and look at it. I got to tell you, I'm really looking forward to this, because the way that it's going to happen, again, you know, you tune in and you got like three innings of the game, and then you'll hear from Pat and Ron. Then you get to the seventh inning, you hear from them again, and then the post game will be a lot of fun. So it's a wonderful idea, and congratulations to the Deep Thinkers at the Score for pulling it off. Pretty good stuff. All right, 312-644-6767. That's the telephone number. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station.
Cummies.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. And we've got people who want to check in. 312-644-6767 is the number. Let's start with Matt. Matt is in River North. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, fellas.
Morning, Matt.
The one thing I remember about the 2016 run, they had to beat the Giants, and Giants had won three out of the last five World Series and won 10 elimination games in a row. I mean, they essentially beat Michael Jordan, and I knew once they won that series, they were going to win. I mean, I didn't think they'd have as much trouble with the Indians as they had, because, I mean, the Indians' starting pitching was kind of banged up, and I thought they would have taken care of them, but that was really impressive. I mean, they beat a team that just refused to lose and was probably one of the best teams of the last 10 years, I would say.
And the Giants as you pointed out,
they had Baumgartner they had to go through. Yeah. They had Johnny Cueto. The
Cueto
was Achilles
really
Hill was their bullpen
at the time.
Yeah. You know, that was the issue for them. But, you know, you had Buster Posey. That was a pretty good team.
But you're comparing the Cubs run to the Sox run. That's what Ray said you wanted to talk about. You don't think the Sox had a tough time with the Red Sox?
No, I don't.
I remember. Oh, you're out of your mind. I mean,
I think they didn't have to face Bartolo Colon against the Angels. I mean, the Angels ace was out for the whole series. They didn't have to face Curt Schilling.
All in place. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that's not accurate. I think that it's always difficult to win a World Series. I think that especially when you're talking about that Giants team, they had won a lot, but they didn't win a lot that year. That wasn't like some giant killer type Giants team. It was a different team.
No, it was a team kind of on the last leg of its sort of dynasty, if you want to call it that, and the Cubs took advantage of that. I don't think it's ever easy to win a World Series, though, whether you're talking about the Cubs in 16 or the Sox in 05. They almost seem like they're from two different eras, those championships, because the Sox rode so heavily starting pitching, you know, and they weren't as reliant on the bullpen. And boy, the starters were just dominant. And they made it look easy, even though it wasn't easy.
Let's try Jack. He's in South Haven. Hey, Jack, how are you?
Hey, Jack.
Good. How are you? How are you this morning? Yeah, you know, this thing about Madden and the World Series, been a Cub fan a long time, and I'm thinking about it, and you're absolutely right, and I think why. Because while he obviously overmanaged, that's a given, but I'm thinking it's because of the past in a way too, in my humble opinion, because of all the roller coasters that we've been on with the Cubs. And when that guy hit the home run with Rajay Davis to tie it, you're like, oh, not this again, not this again, you know. And then I kept thinking, you know how you watch those films later on, you know, what the old players talking about, what could have been. You know, that's what was going through my mind. Like, you see an old Joe Madden or an old, you know, Chris Bryant talking about, yeah, we could have won. You know, that's what it is. I think it's the past that you know, people won't forget still. Thanks.
I think that's a good phone call, Mully, and I understand it. But I almost think it almost makes me, what I was saying, even truer, because after everything that Cubs fans had been through, all the angst and all of the near misses and all the agony, I would have thought that their support for the guy that actually wins a championship would have been kind of unconditional love. Like, oh my gosh, thank you, thank you, thank you forever. And yet it became, thank you, can you leave now?
Hey, he wound up with a restaurant. What are you talking about?
it's close to Ditka's.
I got it. No. Yeah. He had to go elsewhere. But what are you going to do? Jim's in Evanston. Hey, Jim, how are you?
Good morning, Jim.
Morning, guys. Hey, here I am, Dave. So not only getting him there, but then getting him through Boshi, getting him past L.A., he sent Montero up in the eighth. People forget about that. That was a nice swing of the bat. But then you go to game seven. You've got three of your best four pitchers available. The only one that wasn't was Arrieta. You know, you can debate all you want, but the facts are on the side of he took him out in the fourth. I'll wait for the phone call that tells me how Hendricks would have pitched in the fifth and the sixth. If you know, you're in the wrong job. You should be managing a Major League Baseball team. He goes to Lester. Lester pitches great. So that just takes out the argument that he took Hendricks out too early because Lester pitched fantastic. Then he goes to Chapman in the eighth. Understood he was relying on a monster. People forget how much of a monster Aroldis Chapman was in 2016. He gets in trouble, throws the inside pitch. It gets taken out of the park. The guy comes back in the ninth and gets three outs and gives the Cubs a chance to win the game, which they do in the 10th. End of story. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for the phone call.
Thank God for the rain delay and the big meeting where you had a guy stand up in front of everyone and apparently later go shirtless into the manager's office. But that was years later. So.
You will not criticize the $184 million meeting, okay?
That's really what it was.
A penny. Yes.
And you know what's hilarious is that, you know, as I recall, Ben Zobrist said something along the lines, and I'm not quoting him directly, but the idea was because he'd been so awful during the year, he carried special gravitas when he led the meeting. What?
Well, I think his point was it was sort of like it was a veiled criticism, and he didn't intend it to be. But he's basically saying, can you believe this guy who had let so many people down had the audacity to get in front of the room and to rally us together? So if he believes it can be true, it must be true.
Well, you know, and it's funny because the Coom Dog reminded us, don't you remember how great Ben Zobrist was? I mean, Ben Zobrist was really a special kind of, I don't know what you call him, gym rat of a player. I mean, he was just one of these guys that went about his business, got it done. You know, he was extraordinary in those moments.
Clutch. He was in that series, everything that he had been throughout his career, the right guy at the right time when he needed him to be.
Let's get to Joe. Joe is at O'Hare. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thanks for taking a call. You know what? I'm 59 years old, and the time period that Joe Madden was here is the greatest period of Cubs baseball that I've ever experienced. So I don't – all the celebrating about him leaving, I don't get it. I think he was a fine manager. Did he make mistakes? Sure he did. But overall, like I said, it's the finest period of Cubs baseball I've ever experienced. I hope Ross does well, but – I don't think he's going to be half the manager Joe was. Thanks for taking a call.
All right,
thanks
buddy.
Thanks for making it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, listen, it's the only time they won a World Series in anyone's lifetime, right? I mean, is there anybody that is alive now that saw the Cubs win a World Series other than the most recent one? It's
Sister Jean, wasn't born yet, was she? Sister Jean
No. She's only 100.
Okay. She's only 100.
I mean, I'm sure there's some trees out in California, but honest to God.
One of the texters is giving David Ross credit for Albert Almora tagging up. He's saying that Rossi was yelling from the dugout, tag up, tag up, and that won the game. So he was a manager before his time. Some people just love Rossi.
Rossi outmanaged Joe in that game.
Rossi outmanaged Francona, too. He outmanaged Bochy and Francona and Dave
both.
Roberts.
He got them both in one move. That's outstanding. I will say this. I don't know that we're ever going to go through a period of time that will be more amusing and fun as it was when Joe Maddon was there. I mean, Joe was so shot out of a cannon, kind of nutty, crazy, that it took, you know, winning is all that mattered, and you don't care if you're winning, if you know, you got, you know, some robot-type manager. As long as you're winning, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if he's likable or not. But the combination of winning and having Joe be kind of the three-drink minimum guy, that was outstanding. That was just wonderful. No question about it.
And we're going to miss that. And I think that is the thing, that there are a lot of reasons why he had to go, and that's what we have spent a lot of time in the past several months talking about. It was time. They could justify it. David Ross is the manager of the moment, and when they resume playing baseball, he'll show you why. But you're going to miss Joe Maddon, not only just in the media, but I think the fans. And I do think that over time, as each year passes, you'll reflect back on that 2016 memory with boy, you know, that was the golden age of Cubs baseball.
I've got to read this text to you and get your reaction. We have a guy who checks in and says that Joe Maddon is the same thing as Ditka. He won one, but should have won more.
Well, that's always going to make you feel that. There's an emptiness associated with that era of Cubs baseball as well. It might be the golden age, but it feels incomplete because that was a team. And you see the young faces of those core players in that Game 7, and you see all those young faces. Some of them are still here. If they only win one championship in the Bryant-Rizzo, the Brizzo era, if you will, then that's going to be a disappointment. And there is going to be some 85 Bears-ish comparisons that are valid because they expected so much more.
The thing is, the 85 Bears, you know, it was a quarterbacking issue, right? You had a guy that you couldn't keep healthy. And I understand the strike and all the rest of it and everything that went on, but really what kind of waylaid the Bears was the issue at quarterback. There was no particular personnel issue that waylaid the Cubs. It's a real mystery when you stop and think about it. I mean, other teams get better. It's hard to repeat in baseball, but, you know, they won that World Series. They were so young. You really felt like they were going to put together. It really felt like the beginning of a dynasty. And I don't know that it wasn't. If you pluck out of history and look at all the, but one championship just almost wasn't enough given the collection of talent.
I can't argue with that, and it is odd, isn't it, Mullian, here in Chicago? You've got two World Series managers, one with Ozzie Guillen and the White Sox, who can't get a job in a Major League dugout for whatever reason, and I think, you know, that's a different conversation, but it's a shame that he can't because he's an excellent manager with a World Series ring. And Joe Maddon, who did what nobody else in the Cubs dugout had done, and it was time for him to go. And so you have two guys that have one championship apiece, always going to be legends in Chicago, but it didn't end up going the way that you thought it would go after they won their titles.
All right, I guess it's time for us to go too.
That's the music.
Hopefully not like that. That's right.
No. We're coming back tomorrow, right?
Yeah, there we go. That's it. Thank you for reminding me. All right, we want to thank everyone for calling and texting and emailing.
Most of all, thank you for listening.
Boy, that means a lot to us. Thanks to Dustin Rhodes.
God, you guys are exhausting me.
Yeah, he exhausted Kevin today. He threatened him, I believe. I'm pretty sure, Dustin, you're not supposed to threaten Kevin. Thank you, Kevin, for taking it.
I got a lot of time for Kevin.
I do. Kevin's a friend. And, of course, Ray. I got nothing but time for Ray. What a great man.
They're recovered. They're strong. Something was good in them that worked.
Hey, Molly, we have a big show tomorrow. Mayor Lightfoot will join us at 8:30 on Thursday. That is tomorrow. Looking forward to that conversation.
Yeah, that should be great. But we'll ask her. She's got a great sense of humor. We'll ask her what's her favorite meme, because she's all over the place.
She's all over.
Yeah. All right. It's Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 and Score.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.